Good morning, saints. We are reading this week from the book of Philippians. We've sort of jumped forward. We were in the book of Acts last time we talked, last week or 2 weeks ago, as Paul was in a place called Philippi. And this is the letter of Paul to the Philippians, beginning with verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And that's where we'll stop today. Let us pray. God, as we reflect on this word for us today, may it be a light in the darkness, may it be hope in our sadness. May it spur us on to be saints for you, to the glory and praise of your holy name. Amen. As I said last time, we've been talking about Paul recently. And last time we left him, he was actually in a place called Philippi. And while he was there, he was put into jail. And while in jail, he sang songs and prayed. And because of his faithfulness in the midst of all of that, he inspired faith in someone else, which led to this specific conversion of the jailer. All of this you can read for yourself in Acts 16. But the joy that that brought the jailer and Paul and Silas into the jailer's home in order for him to be baptized. At the end, Paul is released. He goes back to this small community of believers, including the jailer and his household, and encourages them, and then he leaves. And that is the last we hear about Philippi. That's it. The story of this small community of believers begun there. This, then, is the letter back to the Philippians. Paul is writing back to this community that he helped to start. And where does he find himself? But back in jail once again. It seems that this is Paul's lot in life. We didn't read that far, but in verse 13, it says that he says that I am in chains for Christ. Here he is imprisoned once again, and he writes this letter back to the Philippians. And after a sort of brief introduction, where once again he calls them saints, he says this, I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying for you. I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying for you. And with that, I hear a song coming on. The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you while combing my hair now. Well, not really. And wondering what dress to wear now. I say a little prayer for you. And then we kick into the part, you know, forever and ever will stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. Okay, that's enough. Thank you, choir. I appreciate your help. I do appreciate your help. I've never had backup singers before. That's awesome. You get the sense, though, that this is kind of like that. That's what Paul is talking about, that every time he remembers these people, he prays. He prays every time because these people are on his heart and his mind, even while he himself is in jail. And that prayer that he says that he prays is a prayer, first and foremost, a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, almost all of the letters that I write these days are thank you letters. And actually, those are really few and far between these days as well. But the thank you letters are what I mail most often. And they're mostly like, thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the blessing you are in my life. But Paul doesn't say exactly that. It's a prayer of thanksgiving, but what Paul has to say is, I thank God every time I remember you. The things that they do for Paul, this group of Philippians does for Paul, he doesn't thank them. Instead, he thanks God for the gift that they are in his life. Now, if you know, and I just learned this, so I don't know that you would. In the first century, prison was not like it is today. There was no cafeteria. And so it is most likely that the other Christians around him, the followers in whatever community he was in, were having to bring him food so that he wouldn't starve. Family members and other friends would have to bring food in so that people wouldn't starve. And so it's likely even that the Philippians were part of this support for Paul as he was still in jail. And so what Paul has to say is that their love and their support spurs a renewed and continued faith in God inside him. Their food is spiritual food for him. And therefore, he's thankful for God's provision through them. This type of thank you is not something we so easily jump into, but maybe we should. Maybe Paul is telling us how we should really be praying for one another. That when we receive things from other people, that it actually should be getting us closer and closer to God. That's how love works, or is supposed to work, in Christian community. Paul says that he rejoices in the sharing of things with the Philippians. In verse 5, he says, I rejoice in sharing in the gospel with you. Sharing in the good news. And second, I share in grace with you in verse 7. See, these things, the gospel and grace, are both received and given. And Paul and the Christian community actually shares in both of those. And so as Paul holds these people in his heart, they hold him in theirs. It's a mutual support of prayer and giving, and all of it made possible through God. There are three words that are sort of the character of how Paul prays for these Philippians that he mentions. In verse 4, he says, I pray with joy. In verse 6, he prays with confidence. In verse 8, he prays with the affection of Christ. First of all, Christ prays with joy. Because sharing because of this shared gospel message, this shared good news brings joy, just like it did to that jailer that day, and like it did to Paul on that road. This shared joy is a partnership in the good news. It's the good news that we are not alone in this life, in this quest. We are united in Christ together because of what Christ has done for us. That second character of prayer is a prayer of confidence. Paul says, I am confident that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Paul is confident in God's continued work in the world, and we should be too. Because the Philippian support of Paul there in jail is proof that God is still working and active. This is the same God that called them into community together in Jesus. And therefore, he can be confident in God throughout the rest of his days. It's all based on the conviction that God is consistent, that the God who saved him through Jesus Christ is the same God who meets him every day. The last part of his prayer, the last character of his prayer is the compassion of Christ, or the affection of Christ. Actually, the Greek words there don't even say compassion or affection. What they actually say is inward parts of Christ. The inward parts of Christ. And so we translate that compassion or affection because it's that part of us that is hard to explain but is moved. But it's moved to care for other people. It's that inward part. It's not just an emotional thing, and it's not just a knowledge head thing, but it's a physical reaction. It's his whole self is praying for these people. So Paul prays with joy, he prays with confidence, and he prays with the affection of Christ. It's these characteristics that should inhabit all of our prayer for each other. Joy in sharing, confident in God's continued work, in who God is. And we should be moved kind of at the very center of ourselves to pray. It's with that in mind that Paul specifically lays out his prayer. And I want you to hear it. We're going to hear it again today later in our baptisms. But I want you to hear it because this prayer speaks to how we should be praying for each other as we all seek to grow in Christ together. So this is Paul's prayer. That your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Let's hear it one more time. I pray that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. May we all be so bold to pray this for one another. I'm not going to end my sermon there. But it is the thought that I want to enter into baptism with today. That as we baptize two little ones, that this would be our prayer, both for them and for their parents and for their family and for each other even, as we remember our own baptisms. And so I invite Arthur, you were my elder, that's right. Sorry, Arthur and the slides to come on forward. I want to make sure I didn't get... So while Paul was in Philippi, he met that jailer, right? And when he met that jailer, this jailer said, "Yes, I believe." And when he did, they went back to his house with him and they baptized him. But the Bible says that he didn't just baptize him. They baptized him and his whole household. Dylan, your parents today are going to say, "I believe," for you today. They're going to say that they believe. And in such, we are baptizing you right into this family of faith, right here into this community. And that's what baptism is about, at least part of it. You are going to begin your journey as a saint today, as part of this community of faith. And the church is going to promise to care for you, and it's going to promise to guide you. And you will learn to do the same for us as you begin to share in the gospel and the grace of God. Yeah, and today, right now, in these waters, God is going to begin a work in you that we know God is going to bring to completion. Because we trust with confidence in God's power.